Moikka! Welcome to Mastering Finland. This podcast shares stories of foreigners in Finland and provides practical tips and learning opportunities for all. Go ahead, join our community and enjoy listening to this episode. For more information, check our website masteringfinland.com.
Hi everybody, welcome back to Mastering Finland. I'm your host, Matt, and today our guest is Jope Kvadrlik. I'm sorry if I butchered that. Please correct me if I did. Jope is a job coach and community manager working in Helsinki with our friends at The Shortcut. He's originally from the Netherlands, and he believes that communication is one of the secret weapons to uncovering some of Finland's greatest treasures. And we're going to find out exactly what he means today. So thank you very much for being with us today, Jope.
My pleasure. I'm very excited, actually. You know, I noticed time and time again that, especially as foreigners sharing these stories, it's very important. I don't think we talk enough about how we got to be where we are. And as I said, I figure out that my main tool is communication. And hopefully in this episode, I can give you and also the listeners some ideas on how that actually works and how you can use it to achieve the goals that you want here in Finland or anywhere else.
Okay, great. Well, so first of all, we will start off with the question of what brought you to Finland? How did you end up coming from the Netherlands to Finland?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a double story in the sense that I originally came for a woman, as I noticed it's either studying or women for a lot, or partners for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, myself included.
Right, right. But I noticed that over the years, when I listen to people's stories, I feel like there is a part that we often don't really speak about, and it is that we come also, I believe, and I don't mean to speak for anybody, but I hear the story a lot. We also come a lot to either get away from something back home or in the hopes of finding something new. And for myself, it meant like this. So it took me 10 years to finish a degree. I tried many different studies, didn't finish four of them, finished the last one, which was social work. Then I started working in it. And on the third day of my first job, I realized I made a mistake. I did not like it at all. So then there was this opportunity to go live in Finland with my then girlfriend. And this was an opportunity, you know, obviously I loved her, so I wanted to come for that. But also I saw it as an opportunity to change my life. Luckily for me, my diploma as a social worker is not valid in Finland. In the Netherlands, it is a applied sciences degree, where here in Finland, it's a university degree. So I was happy. I was like, great. I have to reinvent myself. And what happened was this, is that when I came to Finland, this is about 9 years, 8 or 9 years ago, there was a lot of support for foreigners, but not as much as there is today. And one of the places I ended up was Lukan, L-U-C-K-N. I believe it's a Finnish-Swedish initiative to help people integrate into Finland. Mm-hmm. And you could use their workspace as a place to look for work from. They had coffee, they had a printer, so it was quite easy. And very diligently, I would sit there every day, like 3-4 hours, and look for work. And I would send out resumes left and right. And at some point, I had sent out 75 resumes. And I started to think, maybe this is not working. I found myself in a position where I see a lot of foreigners, and it is like, you know, I'll take anything, because I was desperate, you know?
Yeah.
I was burning through my savings. So what to do? Then I made one of the smartest decisions in my life, and it was to stop looking for work. Stop looking for work and to learn how do you look for work, actually. How do you look for work? So I started looking at all of these different players, you know, whether it was like books on how to find your career or TED Talks or anything like that. And to my surprise, a lot of them disagreed on what worked. Also, a lot of them said, there's one thing you should do and that will help you. So I decided then, like, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense if they disagree, but what do they all at least agree on? What are the things, the small things that they at least agree on? So I started collecting those. One of them was, for instance, networking. Everybody kept saying, you should network, go network, go out there, go network. But nobody said how that works. They said, do it, but it didn't say how does it work.
Right.
So I took it upon myself to take all of these small little gems that everybody seemed to agree on, and then I went deeper into those. And I made what I called Joppe's Plan to Happiness. I still have it, actually, on my computer. Not on my computer, on Drive, actually.
Okay.
And I implement my plan. And 2 months later, I have a job at a company called Arctic Startup. And then the people at Lucan asked me to come back. They were like, hey, so now you are, quote unquote, a success story because you managed to get a job as a foreigner. And could you come and give a motivational speech to kind of the next generation of foreign job seekers? And then I thought, well, I have been to those places, like at the city of Helsinki, where there's an inspirational speaker on stage saying, you can do it, don't give up, go network. And I remember always thinking, I'm sorry, but this is a bit bullshit. What am I going to do with motivation? I need hands-on things. I need practical solutions, right? Not somebody telling me, keep going, you can do it. I mean, it's nice, but it's not, it doesn't lead to anything, not per se.
Right.
So I took a few elements of my plan and I built this, like, I think the first one was this 20-minute workshop, and it was a great success. People were really happy with it. And then for years on end, I kept giving back to the community that I was so grateful for, helped me build this career that I have now. So I was like doing more workshops at Lucan. I did workshops with Nice Hearts, City of Helsinki. And this kind of kept growing. And eventually the 20 minutes went to an hour of workshop. An hour went to 2 hours. Then it went to different kinds of workshops. So workshops on networking, workshops on how to activate people, how to pitch, and so on and so on. And then one day what happened was that Hakahelia called me and asked me if they could buy a workshop. And that was the first time I thought, hey, maybe I can make some money with this. Maybe there's a career in this also. Now, in the meantime, I have worked as a chief of happiness at Arctic Startup. I've worked as a research assistant for a professor at Aalto University. I've had quite some careers now. And ironically now, by the end of the day, I have circled back to helping people find careers. In this case, at The Shortcut, where I work as a career coach.
Okay. That's a really nice way that everything tied together there, you know.
Something came to my mind, actually. I love this stuff. Okay, I'll try and explain it properly, but it's a bit of a spider's web. So if it's not clear, please let me know.
Okay.
I get a lot of the question, how important is networking in Finland? And I would say it is super important. To me, it is my favorite tool to get anything done. But here's the thing. Don't network to find work, network to create opportunities. You don't know what these opportunities are going to be. Maybe it's work, maybe it's freelancing. Maybe you find your next surf buddy. You don't know. And here is a bit of an example of how it can go. Okay, so my first job was at Arctic Startup. How did I get the job? First, I came to the conclusion I would like to work in events. An Arctic Startup creates an event called Arctic 15,
okay,
which is a networking event for startups and investors.
Mm-hmm.
And I contacted then, what was this title? Event director, I think. And I sent him an email saying like, hey, I'm super interested in what you guys do. Would you be open to having a cup of coffee with me and chatting? And they said yes. Now, how did I find his phone number? How did I find his email? Well, it was on the website. It's kind of bold in a way, right? See what happens. And I get immediately a response, yeah, sure, come by. So I'll go by in the office. I brought some cookies for everybody there. And we're chatting. And then Jan Amari told me that they were looking for team leads for the event. Now, this is a volunteer position, but screw it. I thought this is great. This is a foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So then for 1 month, I worked as a volunteer for the event, before the event and during the event. And I decided at some point that I really wanted to get hired at the Arctic Startup. And I worked so as hard as I could to show them what I was worth. Then eventually the event had passed and there was nothing really more to do.
Okay.
But what did I do? And this is a little bit crazy. Then the Monday after, I just went to the office and I sat down next to Jan Amari and I said, okay, what's next? And Jan looked at me a bit like, what are you doing here? I was like, okay. And he gave me another task. Yeah. This went on for quite a while.
Okay.
And eventually I went to the then CEO and I said, hey, I've been doing so much work. How about hiring me? And he said, but Joppe, we don't have any money. And then I explained to him how I got, because I got a bunch of interns in than how much money I saved him by getting in the interns, right? And then he said, okay, let's start. So then that's how I started there. But the actual interesting part is this. So I'm working at Arctic Startup. I'm doing the second year of Arctic 15, the networking event. Then there is a volunteer called Inga Czernova, who was intern at the time, or not sure if the term was intern, but at least she was one of the participants at the shortcut.
Okay.
She asked me if we needed an intern. I said yes. She actually became my intern at the time. And we set up the HR. She is a wizard with Excel. It's amazing. And she's way more talented than I am. So I decided to coach her. I asked her, like, hey, would you like to be coached to see if we can get you hired at Arctic Startup? This works. I coach her. She does an amazing job. Actually, she became COO of the company, right? Also, in the meantime, I'm doing free workshops at the shortcut. This is how I met Katie. Meet Katie. Katie is currently the CEO of an NGO called Flower Rescue. And the shortcut at the time didn't pay anybody for workshops. So I said, how about you pay me in contacts? She put me in contact with Jukka Pekka. And Jukka Pekka was a professor at Aalto University. Now you could be asking, like, why are you telling me all of this? Well, so now years later, no, actually there's more even. This is insane. one of our salespeople was Jochen Vogel.
Okay, yeah.
So I leave eventually Arctic Startup. Now years later, I work at the shortcut. Who hired me? Inga Czernova, who had become CEO of the shortcut, the person that I originally hired as my intern. As the career coach, I work partially for the spouse program of the city of Helsinki. Who runs the spouse program of the city of Helsinki? Jochen Vogel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Katie from the shortcut has become my friends. We're very close friends these days. Now, what does this Jukka Pekka have to do with anything? Well, my job after Arctic Startup was being a research assistant for Jukka Pekka. I could go on and on about this. Like, there's way more to be told, but it's absolutely insane.
Well, I wanted to say that I completely understand what you're saying, because that's kind of what I try to tell people as well when it comes to the networking, because I think that a lot of people, they think of making these kinds of connections through like LinkedIn or something, and then you essentially have, you know, maybe somebody who works somewhere is going to offer you some kind of a position or something like that. But it really is about, you kind of end up, you meet these people, you have a genuine connection with them. So it's not just about a click of a mouse on the computer. You know, they actually know who you are, you know who they are. And it creates these times when things come along where you think of them or they think of you, and you reach out to each other and things can blossom into something. And sometimes maybe that particular opportunity you were talking about doesn't go anywhere, but that doesn't mean that it might not lead to something else. And it really is about creating all different kinds of opportunities for yourself and for others. Another way is through your network that you've built, be able to help other people too. And then that actually enriches your network and will help create more opportunities for you in the past, because now somebody knows that you were looking out for them, so they'll be looking out for you. And so many of the opportunities, anything that I've gotten involved in, whether it be a job or all these different volunteering things that I'm in, even things like being a host on this podcast, they all have somehow come from, you know, I met this person, they introduced me to this person, and then I got introduced to that person and we started doing this together, and then we met this person.
Yeah.
And it all kind of comes together. It's truly an organism, you know, that you have to kind of nurture and grow, and the more that you do, the more that it will benefit you. So that's just another way to put what you said.
Well, absolutely. I think actually one of the biggest challenges or problems is that people like me, job coaches or people that do workshops on this kind of stuff, they tell people, go out and network, be bold, ask for work, show up, knock on doors. Now, here's the thing. This is true. You should, but only if you're prepared. And the thing is, most people aren't prepared because nobody tells them how to be prepared. Nobody tells them that, like, for instance, people think I'm insane, but most of the time I tell job seekers or people that are looking for opportunity, stop looking. My favorite analogy is that of dating. It works every single time with this, which goes like this. Everybody understands that if I'm single and I go to a club to meet somebody, and all I'm thinking is, I gotta be dating somebody, I gotta find somebody, that's insanity. Everybody goes like, it's creepy and unpleasant. But when it comes to finding success or careers, that's exactly what we do. We knock on doors and then say, hey, do you have a job opening? You haven't even done anything for anybody. Nobody knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a missed opportunity there. And this is also where my new idea comes from of descriptive communication, a tool that can help you to understand better what it is that you have to offer. What do you want? Because as long as you don't know what you want, you can't get what you need, right?
Yeah.
Actually, Matthew, would you be interested in giving it a shot with me together?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll explain a little bit more about the concept. By the way, it is, in a way, it's very simple. This is nothing groundbreaking, but I've noticed that it works really, really well. And why does it work well? Because when we start describing who we are, we realize we have skills. It has nothing to do with being arrogant. It has nothing to do with creating a better picture than we are. It is only about an authentic picture. Who are you and what do you want? And the best thing is this creates courage.
Mm.
So let's see how far we can get with you. Let's see if we can make this work.
Okay.
Could you name me one of the skills that you like to use?
Well, I guess the way I would describe it is like I like to put people together. When I know somebody who is into something and then I meet somebody else, I like to try to pair them up because I want to be able to make things happen for them.
Okay.
So yeah, lately that's what I've been saying is my, you know, kind of my superpower or something when people ask that kind of a question. So yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Really good. Okay. So bringing people together,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's deepen this out a little bit. Why do you care about this?
Well, I want to be able to see. I mean, I think what's important to me is being able to feel an impact in what I'm doing. And not only am I creating an impact by putting people together, but by putting those people together, they're going to be able to create impacts.
Okay.
And I like to be able to see that something happened, because how many times are you talking to people about something? Everybody seems to think it's a great idea, but it stays in that talking phase forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we never get to the point where anybody can actually turn it into a tangible thing. And then you just get more and more people complaining about it. And you get all these other, I mean, there are organizations that pop up saying, hey, we're here to solve this problem. And years later, that problem hasn't really been solved, but they are getting a lot of money to try to solve it and everything else. And it's like, there are solutions. We've talked about this. Why can't we, you know what? If I get this person and this person together, they seem to think that they can do something about it. If they actually are together, maybe that'll happen. And then it's not going to happen necessarily through that mechanism that was created for it. But now these other two people might do it. And then it's like, look, we solved the problem.
Okay.
And I mean, that's a lot of words to say a simple thing, but ultimately it comes down to wanting to be able to make it happen and see that impact, you know?
Okay. So already by simply asking one simple question, you have a more of an explanation, right? Mm-hmm. It went from bringing people together to, hey, it's bringing people together and solving problems that otherwise won't be solved, right?
Right.
Is that more clear than the first example?
Yes.
Right? Simple, right? Okay. All I'm going to do is the same thing over and over again. Can you tell me, where does this come from? Why did you start doing this? There's a story there, I can tell.
Huh. Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that partly, I'm sure that I was this way prior to moving to Finland, but certainly coming here has made this much more about of a prominent trait of mine, because I think when I first moved here, I basically didn't have a network of people. I had my wife and her family, And then I started to have opportunities to meet new people. And I kind of, you know, I said yes to everything that came along for at least a certain amount of time. And it led me to meet other people and get involved and find a way to really make Finland my home, really, and just feel very at home, you know?
Okay.
And I want everybody else who's in a similar situation to be able to find the same thing, you know?
Okay. Can I ask you something? I love this. This is the best. Did you feel that from the first time you said, I want to bring people together to this story, didn't that feel different?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
What was different?
I feel like I'm a little bit more like self-aware and able to kind of
good story
understand where I'm coming from so that I can explain it more to somebody else.
Exactly. And by the way, I see this all the time. It's hard to tell, especially for the people listening at home, but your demeanor changed. You became more relaxed. I could tell. And I've noticed this, that it seems to have to do with when we start to share our story, we start to think, hey, oh, right. I'm a bit on a mission here. So if I may put it together for a second. So bring people together in order to solve problems that they otherwise wouldn't do. And this comes from your own need to set up a network here in Finland and have a good life. And you want other people to have the same. That's good, right? Okay. Yeah. Would you like to go one step further?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. What would you like to achieve with this?
Well, I think ideally I'd like to be able to somehow make this an actual career. Like it would be good to be getting paid to do that, or at the very least lead to something that is a job that makes me feel like I'm making that kind of an impact. Because I will say I was working for 5 years at a job, and you know, it was good money and everything. But the one thing that I realized while I was there is that I didn't feel like anything that I was doing was making a difference that I could see or feel. And I realized how important that was to me. I realized that in order for me to feel like I want to get up in the morning and actually feel excited to do this work, I need to realize that if I didn't get up and do that, it would be bad.
Exactly.
And that it's important that I am there, and that there are people somewhat dependent and counting on me, and it gives me accountability and makes me feel like I have a purpose, you know? And I think that probably deep down, that's something that everybody wants.
100%.
Yeah. And some people are able to find that purpose outside of the job. Like a lot of people, they work so that they can do the things that they really want to do, and they haven't been able to find a way to make that their job, you know.
I'll tell you a little secret that I noticed, and I find this really beautiful. Let's say somebody is looking for a job in HR, right, or marketing, and they're not particularly passionate. They're just this work, you know. But when we do the same exercise with them, and I asked them, why did you start studying marketing in the first place? Why HR? Why graphic design? Why food? And they start telling me their story. And then I asked them also, what would you like to achieve with this? And then things come out of their mouths they didn't realize, because they might say things like, well, with HR, what I really want to do is I want to help people find a career that they can be proud of. And all of a sudden, they are reminded, hey, I actually do care about this. It becomes important again.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. Okay. So in your case, connecting people so they can solve problems together, that's one part of your mission. And the other part of the mission is to turn this into your career, right?
Right.
All of this comes from your own experience of having to build a network here in Finland. You have enjoyed that, apparently, and you would like to have people to have the same experience. Okay, pretty good pitch right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you bragging? No?
No, I don't think so.
Right? Well, no, it's just your story.
Yeah.
Are you lying?
No.
No, right? So it has nothing to do with, like, you know, the old school American way of, like, I am amazing, like, you know, selling yourself. This is just your story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we get to the actual hard part. And by the way, I have to say you're doing really well. Normally, this can be much more challenging because it's really hard for people to talk about themselves. Okay,
yeah.
Now the challenging part. Probably, I'm assuming this will be the challenging part. And I don't expect you to be good at it straight away. And hopefully I can help you a little bit during this process.
All right.
How do you, so you, your goal is to bring people together to solve problems. How do you do that?
I usually contact a person and say, hey, I've got this idea and I know this person and what do you think? Let's try to make this happen.
Okay. Is that easy or difficult?
It's not always easy. It starts off easy, I think, because it's just that idea of I want to connect this person with this person. Wait. But then it tends to, yeah.
I actually, my experience is that it's super, super hard. I think you and I are a bit similar with this skill. Mm-hmm. I find it simple because I've done it a lot. But a person who doesn't have the skill looks at you as you say, that's it is a superpower. Right? Okay. Now, whether it's your skill of networking or matchmaking people or a graphic designer skill to graphic design, this is an expertise.
Mm-hmm.
It might be easy for us, but it's not easy for other people. Now,
right.
How would you tell me, if I don't know how that works, why it's challenging to contact a person and get this done?
Well, there are a lot of factors to consider. First of all, the person who's actually doing this may have trouble just being able to get that actually done. You know, it's kind of an executive function issue that some people are just better at this than others, to sit down and actually type that email or send that message or call that person on the phone if that's how you want to do it. Or even just maybe you know where they're going to be and you want to go see them in person or something you happen to be.
Let me stop you there briefly. I mm-hmm. always say people never, ever use the word just. It is not just. It is your skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, subconsciously, you know exactly what you're doing. All these little steps, all these things you've learned in the past few years, this is why you're the expert. The trick is to get it up and be able to create a vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So not say, like, imagine that, you know, Picasso would have said, just paint. More than years of experience. You know, imagine Elon Musk going like, I just built cars. No, this is a skill. Once we learn to dissect all the steps we take in order to do what we do, that is how we show people that we're true masters. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example of myself. This is the easiest one because it's easier for me to describe. I'll give an example and then I'll ask you again, see if we can deepen it out a little bit.
Okay.
So somebody once asked me, what is the tool you use the most? And I said the tool that I use the most is the tool of empathy. And this person asked me, like, well, how do you use it? And then I said, like you, I said, what do you mean? A person comes in and I'm just empathic. And the person goes like, explain it to me. And I couldn't. That was very hard. It's like, what? How do I do this thing that I normally already do naturally? So I took it upon myself to figure this out, and it took me 3 whole weeks. But eventually, I came to the following description for myself. Empathy is that when I'm sitting in my office and somebody comes in, I observe where are they looking? What is their tone of voice? Do they give me a firm handshake or a loose handshake? Are they breathing from the top of their chest, which could mean that they're nervous, or with their belly, which means that they're more relaxed? Are they red in the face? Are they talking with their teeth together? And all these things. And from all of that, I make assumptions. So let's say that somebody's red in the face and has clenched fists. Now, this could mean, for instance, that maybe they're angry or upset. And then I test this assumption. I say, like, hey, you look angry today. Is everything okay? This person goes like, yeah, I'm angry today. And then we can start a conversation about this because I use my empathy. Or they say, oh, no, it's just cold outside because it's Finland and it's minus 17 degrees. Right?
Yeah.
And then, okay, then we know. This is how I use empathy. Did I now explain to you that I know how empathy works?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if I say I'm just empathic, I can't sell it. I can't find people to collaborate because everybody just has to believe me. But if I explain it the way I just did, then the people around me go, hey, Jopen knows what he's talking about when it comes to empathy. And if we ever need anybody with that skill, the first person I'm going to think of is Jopen. Simple, right?
Yeah.
This way of descriptive communication can turn every moment into a networking conversation, can turn any moment into a potential job interview, because you never know who you have in front of you, right?
Right.
So let's give it one more try.
Right.
Getting people together to solve problems. What's a step in there that you can explain how it works for yourself?
I take people who have similar interests, experiences, and skills, and I connect them in some kind of way so that they can make some kind of a project actually happen.
Exactly, right? Okay, that makes more sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I find interesting, again, your demeanor changed because you're talking and you're like, hey, I know this.
Yeah.
This gives courage. This gives a bit of pride.
It does.
So when we're looking for opportunities, instead of being like asking people like, please, can I have something from you? You go to equal and you're like, hey, I'm a professional. I know what I'm talking about. I know what my mission is. I know where it comes from. Let me share this with the universe. Let me share this with you. And the beauty is if you share it with enough people, there will be reactions. Simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Could I ask you to do one last thing?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so you told me what it is that you do, bringing people together. Mm-hmm. You told me where it comes from, what you would like to achieve with it, and how it works. Could you try and remember and give me the whole thing in like one or two paragraphs?
Okay. I have a desire to bring people together because I have had to build a network that has helped give me a great quality of life, and I want to be able to help other people achieve that as well. I do this by taking people who I know have similar interests and expertise, and I like to connect them so that they can achieve these kinds of goals together.
Yeah,
perfect. Or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Do you see how from the first explanation to this, it's a complete change?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, I would then say eventually, okay, now go into the world. And when people ask you, what is that you do? This is your answer. Hopefully to create through that more opportunities and then reach your goal.
Yeah. All right. Well, wow. I wasn't expecting this to be kind of like a session, but it was really insightful. And, I think that was great. Yeah, actually, I think you really are onto something.
My goal is, I'm thinking about turning it into a company. I haven't done it yet, but I'm getting closer and closer to see if I can build products around this and help more people with this tool.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. I mean, I'm fully supportive of this. I think it's actually a necessity in the, you know, toolbox for especially, you know, the foreigners here in Finland, but this is something that I think really applies to everybody.
Yeah.
So, and that means Finns, and it doesn't have to be in Finland either. It can go all over the place. No. I think it's really great. Really. It's like kind of a groundbreaking,
Yeah, and it works. And it works. It doesn't matter whether it's salary negotiations, whether it is finding employees, finding a co-founder, a conversation with your partner, looking for a career. The same core concepts apply time and time and time again.
Yeah,
I find it very beautiful. I'm so grateful that I put these puzzle pieces together, and then I'm now able to help people through this.
Yeah, well, I can't thank you enough for sharing this with us. How can contact you and follow you to learn more about everything you're saying here?
Yeah. The best way would simply be through my LinkedIn profile. I wish I had a website up already for this descriptive communication thing, but I don't have it yet.
Okay.
But anybody's welcome to add themselves to my LinkedIn. Maybe if it's possible, we can leave my LinkedIn in the description.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somewhere. It would be great.
All right, great. Okay, well, then that'll be there. And also, if anybody has questions and can't reach you, they can always reach out to me or to someone else at Mastering Finland, and we'll make sure that we connect you. I will be happy to do that, since that is my specialty.
Exactly. There you go.
All right. Well, great. Thanks again for coming on today.
My pleasure, right, man. Thank you for listening.
All right. Moi moi.
See you.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye!